Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome back to the After the Sermon podcast, going through the book of Acts currently. I am Pastor Ben, here with Pastor Matt, and we are picking up in Acts 4, where we left off from the week previous. We saw the bold gospel witness of Peter and John after the healing of the lame man, and then we see this description of what the early church was doing after that. So at the end of chapter 4 and then into chapter 5, we get a pretty serious account of what the church's generosity should look like. So what's going on here as we are jumping into this text?
Yeah, so Peter and John come out of all their issues with the local council about their unwillingness to stop proclaiming the gospel. They're rejoicing with boldness that in verse 31, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. There's joy at the end of chapter 5 too. But then we see this group of people, they're together. They have all things in common. They're of one heart and one soul. There's a unity. No one was selfish. No one was, it's about me. It was individual members of a body synced together because of Jesus. And there's a joy in this. There's grace and favor amongst the church. And out of this gospel love for one another, there is generosity shown. Nobody had a need because of what was going on. Someone in the church would say, man, I don't have food for dinner tomorrow night. And another person would come in and say, I'll do it. Or you see this type of care for one another. Even so much, it extends to a guy named Joseph, who's also called Barnabas, because in order to be a part of the early church, you had to have at least two names. I don't know if we've noticed that yet.
Yes, and none of them can be one syllable names.
Correct. They're always just completely different. So Joseph, he is encouraged and goes and sells his land and gives the proceeds of that and lays it at the apostles' feet. And then we get to chapter 5, and there's one key word that interrupts this story, but it's a contrast word. And so this is why we know these two stories go together, because we see the contrast to what has just taken place. So with this one little word, we see we're introduced to two people, Ananias and Sapphira, who sell their land, who then bring a portion of it to the apostles, and they lie about it. And right there in the middle of the church service, they both eventually, Sapphira 3 hours later, drop dead for lying to the Holy Spirit. This is the craziest church service ever. I've never had this happen to me when I've been preaching.
I've seen someone fall, but they didn't die.
Yeah. Usually if there's a dead body involved, it's a funeral. So that's not an actual, like, the church is gathered. And this happens because they disobeyed the Lord. Now, the issue is not that they didn't give all the money to the land from the land to the church. The issue is that they lied about how much they made. And we see it that the apostles address it. Why has Satan deceived you and you've lied to the Holy Spirit in your heart? That their heart was not generous. Their heart was selfish. And selfishness does not belong in the local church. And we get this story of how God will push this out and is more interested in a church that serves than a church that is selfish. And so the story invites us to commit to being a generous people, knowing that our generosity flows from a heart that's been changed by the gospel.
And that's, I think, the key there. I think it's interesting, like, how does Peter know that they've lied? Which the only real answer we can get out of the text is the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
The same Holy Spirit that's in him is in them. And he's, hey, they got that for a lot more than what they just put down.
Yeah.
But then also just this idea that Satan has filled your heart to lie, right? This heart issue is very clearly outlined.
Yeah.
And it keeps coming up. Why in verse 4? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? He's not just blaming Satan either. This isn't a Judas situation where, you know, he's allowed to do something that wasn't already being done inside of it. So that warning of generosity really is a matter of the heart.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also a lack of concern for other people. There's, as I mentioned, generosity is an overflow of the fruit of the Spirit. If you're kind, you'll be generous. If you're joyful, you'll be generous. If you love, you'll be generous. So really, their heart is far from what the Lord desires their heart to be. Where we see just prior to this, at the end of chapter 4, these are people living out hearts that have been changed by Jesus. And they're not perfect. And I'm sure there's some times where people couldn't serve in some capacity. But the issue is here, they didn't lie about it. Like Ananias and Sapphira, where they're just like, we want the money for ourselves because we're more concerned about ourselves.
Yeah, there's a lack of humility. And we don't know anything about them outside of what we see in this text. But the lack of willingness to participate in that togetherness, to that everyone had everything in common, right? They are not humble enough to live that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yet, they still are going to give. And they're doing this now out of an obligation, not out of...
Correct.
Cheerfulness.
Correct. And Paul addresses this later on. So we don't give out of obligation. However we give, online, in person, our generosity, giving to the church what the Lord's already given, is not a, I better do this or God's going to strike me dead. I better do this because he demands it. We do it because we, from a cheerful heart, like we're saved people. We get to participate in the work of God's mission. We get to serve one another. And in return, trusting that others will serve us in our time of need. There's a joy in that. There's a joy in giving when we may not have much, but getting to help meet a need. And so when we make giving an obligation, then yeah, we're not going to find any joy in that. And we're going to rather keep it to ourselves. And so I think even when we look at the Old Testament and New Testament, in the Old Testament, there was an obligation. You better do this. You better give this amount. And it wasn't just 10%. There was multiple percentages and layers to that. And you better do it. And so now that we're under grace, the issue is not how much we give, but how we give. And so on the flip side, people will say, I'm not under the law anymore. I'm not obligated to do a certain amount. But what we also understand about the new covenant and the covenant of grace is that it demands more. And then we see that playing out in this church where they're selling their whole lands for the good of the church. And for the good of the people. And I don't think they're being stupid with their money. They're being good stewards with what God has given them. And trusting that in God's good design, they too will be taken care of.
Yeah. It's also an attitude of dependence on God. They understand that God is going to provide for them.
Correct. And you even see Joseph, he sold a field that belonged to him. I don't think it was the only field. I think it's a field. I read that as he had multiple fields.
Right. It's like his field.
Correct.
Or the family field.
Correct. God's given us wisdom. And so I think to sell everything, to give away, then we have nothing, and now our families are suffering. And I mentioned everything we have is available to the Lord, and we're willing to do that. We're called to be good stewards with our money, not stupid with our money. I'm going to put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, and just make sure you upsell that and get a little of those proceeds back to the church.
Yes, 12%.
That could be the name brand.
12%. Oh, there we go. 12% shirts.
Ooh. And even that, again, because this is all centered around the heart of giving. 1 Corinthians 13:3, if we give away all we have, deliver up our body to be burned, but have not love.
Man.
So we're not commanded necessarily to give everything. It's about how we give.
And that's where, as far as I'm aware in my research, we're never commanded to give. There would be an obligation. But there's that word again. If we are loving and kind, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace,
patience,
I think generosity is an overflow of those. Mm. So if we're not generous, then that should give us pause to say, okay, then something in my heart is not right. Why do I want to hold on to my money? And I did air quotes there, because it's not ours. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it's a posture of just realizing everything you have in life, even the breath in your lungs, was given to you by God. None of it's yours. It's this issue that Jonah had. God says, everything you have right now, I gave to you, and you're complaining about it. So when it comes to our money, there's really a heart check that needs to go into of, all right, Lord, I'm not doing this out of obligation. I want to give cheerfully. Also, at the same time, I'm struggling with a love for money. And you just it's something we need to be very careful about and watch when it comes to our generosity. On the flip side, when the Pharisees would struggle with this, we're not just generous to earn brownie points with God. Mm-hmm. That doesn't count either. That's not cheerful giving.
And I think part of what can help us too, as we're working through that and considering how much to give, how frequently, what's going to be the plan here, the budget, it's ultimately recognizing that people are going to be, people is the mission.
Yeah.
Not having the best or even just being secure and just making it by. That matters, right? The people, as we see at the end of chapter 4. Oh, that's 5. We see the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, right? It's the people that are being served. Mm-hmm. And we went from 3,000 to 5,000 to, I don't think there's a number. Oh, yeah, 3,000 to 5,000. I don't know if that's 5,000 more. So it's 8,000. Yeah. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a full number.
Yes. So if we don't keep our heart's eye on the purpose of money, the purpose of our possessions, because we know that this earth is going to fade, the stuff that our houses, our cars, whatever we have.
Yeah.
That doesn't last.
Right. Enjoy it. These are good gifts, but it's going to burn.
Mm-hmm. Let's not talk about cars burning.
Too soon. Yeah. It's just such a, we spend a lot of money, and I'm not saying don't spend money on a new car. All right. I need a new car, but I think we put so much importance in the possession that it'll bring us joy and it'll bring us, you get more joy in giving to people than you do in gaining possessions. That is what scripture teaches. I believe that wholeheartedly. You see this even in this story. The joy is in the giving, not in the gaining. So a lot of it is just a priority for a lot of people, even in our church, to say, I may not have much, but the people are more important than what I could have if I decided to redirect this money towards that position. Obviously, being led by the Holy Spirit, which is all of what chapter 4, they're being led by the Holy Spirit to do this. So it's not an obligation from the church. You're not going to get a letter in your mailbox like the Catholic Church sends out if you don't give after so many times. But the Holy Spirit does lead us to be generous.
So what would you say to someone who's struggling? Maybe they've never given.
Yeah.
What's the plan? What's the first step?
Yeah. This is a great point, because when people come to Christ, everything is new. So I've always said that tithing, giving to the church is a discipleship issue. You have to walk people through the why you give. And that's what this past Sunday's sermon was on. We give to show a dependence on the Lord from a generous heart, a generous and cheerful heart. So if someone's never given before, I think for them understanding, you've been called to be a good steward of what God has given you. Everybody has been given something different, and that's okay. That's in God's sovereignty. So what you've been given, be a good steward of. That doesn't mean you can't buy a house and you can't do these things. You can be a good steward and have these things. And part of that is cheerfully giving to the church. In this case, we see that the ministry of the church, the money given to the church supports the ministry and the people of the church. So the first thing I would do, two things, is one, I would begin praying, Lord, what would you have me to give? What would you have me to give? And begin praying through percentages. Part of this, in order to be a good steward, is also budgeting. So going through and making sure you don't have two Netflix accounts that you're paying for, right? Pay for one, get rid of the other. But being wise with our money. And if you're struggling with this, is why we offer financial peace. And you can let me or Pastor Ben know, and we will set you up with financial peace and begin helping you steward your money well. Donna, our church treasurer, is a great resource that we have. She will help you budget if you've never thought. And that's such an important concept in life, to just live by a balanced budget. And so begin praying. And then when the Holy Spirit leads you to give, start giving. So I don't believe that we're required to give 10%. I think that is a Jewish law that we're no longer bound by. I think a lot of people hear that and think, oh, I can give 3%. No, you got to be careful that your heart didn't go the way like Ananias and Sapphira. Because, again, the gospel demands more. So I think 10% is a good starting point, mainly because the math is easy.
Mm-hmm.
That's really it. And but that's going to be, for some people, that's a huge stretch. 10% of your money before the gross. This is before God gets the first fruits, as the one prophet said. Help me out. Oh, goodness.
Malachi.
Yes. Yeah, I got 5 points because I beat Pastor Ben on that one.
So, well, it's the one I haven't studied out.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to that. It's January. So I think there's a, God gets the first fruits. He gets the first fruits before the government. Obviously, based on how many of us get paid, the government's going to get it first. But we base our tithing percentage, giving percentage, off of gross.
Mm-hmm. Unless a pastor said this, and it's always, you know, silly, not quite the word, but if you only want a net blessing, then give off of your net worth. If you want a gross blessing,
yeah,
give off the gross.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, a lot of people just don't know or think that way. Mm-hmm. But we see in scripture the first fruits. The principle of giving in the Old Testament still remains, and it was first fruits. It was before anything else, the Lord was given, he is required. And so from whatever percentage you land on, it could be 5% because that's where you're starting off at. And that's a big stretch while you get your budget in order. The thing is, don't delay in giving. Don't wait till you get your act together to begin giving, because you'll never get your act together. That's how that works. Begin giving now. And then if you make, my encouragement is make 10% a goal. And you may start at 5 and you just, every 6 months, you gotta, you're doing 1% up. And then if you've been, just my encouragement, because it's a discipleship issue and we give as a way to show that we depend on the Lord, for a lot of people, 10% may not be a stretch anymore. So something Julie and I did that I mentioned on Sunday is we have an odd percentage in our giving, which means it requires us to have to do the math, because 10% is easy and we can just, you can become complacent and just do it, just to do it. But if we're having to do the math and think about, this is what we're giving, it requires us to be intentional as well as a reminder that, hey, we're dependent on the Lord. So that's where I would, for one, pray about how you, what the Lord would have you give. And two, just do it out of a, being a good steward with a well-organized budget, and both of which we can help you with. And then as you see needs and as the Lord leads you, give. Anything else you would add to that?
If you've never given, you will find once you start to give, you don't miss what you've given.
Yeah, it's so true. And I would even say, can be a consistent giver. Like, it's one thing to give once a month, every 6 months. But when you're doing it monthly, man, you, there is a joy giving. And I know there's, it's not an easy conversation.
Mm.
It's much easier to have this conversation when there's no one else in this room and it's just me and you. But man, the Lord's blessed us beyond measure. Everything we have is a blessing from him.
And even our, if we truly believe the Lord is sovereign, he's wired us a certain way. He's, the opportunities that we have in order to earn money,
yeah,
all of that is from the Lord. It's,
yeah,
none of it is really our effort. We can say, oh, I worked hard, but I think that's why, and I think it's Colossians, it says, work as though you work for the Lord, not for man.
Correct.
Because God's the one, like, we're in his created universe.
Correct. The skill sets that I have were given to me by the Lord. Like, it, we so forget that everything we have belongs to him. And I think that's part of the issue. We think we're self-made.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no such thing as a self-made man. Someone's helped you along the way. But as a Christian, the Lord has given us everything. And the things of this earth, as the hymn says, grow strangely dim. Because we realize, oh, I can't take a U-Haul to heaven with me, as the old joke says. But every time we see someone come to Christ at Grace Life, every time we see a leader raised up, every time we hear the preaching of God's word and the prayer of the saints and a need is met, those are eternal values that will never burn. And so really, I think it comes down to generosity is an overflow of the Holy Spirit's work in us. And maybe we're just not prioritizing the Holy Spirit.
Any other last thoughts as we leave this generosity discussion?
Yeah, I would say weigh this seriously. I'm not going to threaten you with what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, but clearly God takes it seriously. And so my encouragement would be to, hey, New Year's coming up. Begin now what you want to do all of next year. And just be on the same page with your spouse in the good way, not like Ananias and Sapphira were. They were on the same page, but for the wrong reasons. And just say, hey, we're committing to the Lord this amount of money each month. by faith, we are depending on the Lord. We could use this, but we're going to depend on the Lord for the that he will use this for the good of the church, good of the community, and for his glory. And man, participate in the joyful act of giving. It really is a joy to give. And if you need help with it, we have things in place that could help equip you to get a better handle on your money, because being a good steward is a command of what God's given. That is a command. And so that's really probably the first place. And so my encouragement is, man, give it a shot. Just trust the Lord that he knows what he's talking about. And you may think that your little amount of money is nothing, but you think of the story of the widow's mite. She's a penny, and it meant more to the Lord than all the other money amounts of money that people were giving, because the Lord knew her heart and found joy in that. So I don't think God gets mad at how much we give. I think it's the heart that matters. And so you can give $1 million and be far from God, and you could give a dollar and see how close your heart is to him, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Give a dollar and not be close to God, and give $1 million and be close. So my encouragement is, hey, this week, set up a, go online, thegracelifechurch.org/give, as you hear every Sunday.
Yeah.
And set up an account. And
or you can do it through the app.
You can do it through the app. Write a check. Whatever is going to keep you accountable and help you think through and be intentional in giving. So that's my encouragement. And then find the joy in it. And at the same time, because it's we are there is a in our American culture, this is very much, we get weird about this conversation. Where in other parts of the world, we see played out the Acts 4. I would love to hear the stories of how you found joy and cheerful. Like, we don't get to hear those type of stories. We hear stories of people overcoming addiction and people dealing with other stuff. But man, this is a hard issue. And I'd love to hear of just, man, hey, I started giving and it changed. The Lord uses to change my heart and depend on him. Like, those are encouraging to us. And we'll never ask, was it 10%? We'll save those for the TV preachers, which we are not one.
No, we are becoming podcast preachers a little bit, though.
Podcast preachers?
Mm-hmm. Which I don't know. As long as we don't get sponsorships, I guess we're okay. Unless it's going to be your t-shirt company.
Thanks to the generous giving of members of Grace Life. This podcast is sponsored by Grace Life Church.
Oh, man. All right. Again, always reach out to us as you have needs, as you have celebrations.
Let me interrupt. I think that's the key. Also, if you have a need, don't be ashamed in that. That's why the church is here. So if you do have a need, as Pastor Ben just said, please let us know.
Yeah, because we're not broadcasting your picture out on the TV.
No.
We're going to take care of you.
No.
And do so in a way that's...
Yeah, and there's needs being met that nobody knows about. Mm-hmm. We've had to deal with some things where some people think we should make every need known, and some of it's personal and private and shouldn't be made known, and they're being dealt with. But yeah, we'd love to serve and help, and other people in our church would. And so when someone offers to help, don't turn down their blessing.
It's another opportunity to do that one anothering, right? And, yeah. And that togetherness. So we will look forward to seeing you on Sunday, and just encourage you to continue sharing God's grace with every life as we just go through this journey of God's mission, and looking forward to just what Jesus is going to do in our community. God bless.